All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Wrecker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekkr5, mountainstatesurvival.com. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. We have on with us today Robert Griswold. This is our part two. Today, we're talking about the Nordstrom pipeline, both Nordstrom 1 and 2, and the recent damages that have been done to it. Now, Bob, there's been more things that have come to light, and it's become quite the political hot button. I have here pulled up that the people of Germany are not exactly too happy about this, and that they were going to be petitioning their government soon to release the sanctions that was upon it from their government to Russia. You know why? It's probably because they don't want to freeze during the winter.
Well, I think right now, Doug, just so you, I think it is beyond the Rubicon. They've crossed the Rubicon for this winter. There is going to be misery in Germany this winter. I don't think they have enough to go around, and I don't think they can get this problem solved. Donald Trump warned him of it. He said, don't get dependent on Russian gas. They've shut down all their own industry. Now they're scurrying to try to get their industry back up. You know, it's just woke stupidity, you know, that we're a global people. We're a global economy. We're a global village. But if I don't burn my oil and make the Russians burn their oil, somehow that is green. I mean, it's just like the stupidity of buying an electric car and having to buy a generator to keep it going. Who can believe this wokeness stuff and how people fall into it and actually believe somehow you're saving the planet? You know, if it is proven that Western powers were the ones that did this pipeline, the sabotage to it, this thing is pumping millions of cubic feet of greenhouse gases into the environment. I'd be curious to see how much greenhouse gas is pumped into the environment till they get this thing shut down and fixed versus how much greenhouse gas is made by all the cars in the United States in 1 year. Well, and I bet you're going to find out that this thing's going to probably put out more greenhouse gas than all the cars in the United States do in 1 year.
Well, let me ask you this question. Why wouldn't we do it? Let's give ourselves the good old government answer, right?
Yeah.
You know, if we are working in intelligence, we'll keep it like that. If we are working against Russia, and we have assets in Germany, we have assets in Norway and in Poland and everywhere else, who are going to be greatly affected by the time, let's say, we, the American government, do detonate any deep underwater explosives, which, by the way, that's only military grade. Civilians aren't going to get down to that level, to the seafloor, and to launch. I don't think most people know where this pipeline is either. It's on the floor. You know, it's not floating in the water. It's
hundreds of feet below the surface.
Yeah, hundreds of feet deep below. You're going to have a submersible, a military grade, to some extent submersible, or a professionally like private built for like a university or something. But even then, that's not exactly something that the that one would have military access to.
Access to the explosive. They would know there's taggots, you know, there's taggots in the explosives. They would be able to tell where the explosives came from because there's markers and all kinds of all those explosive markers in it. All they would have to do is collect bomb damage fragments. Those taggots would be in there. They'd know who did it. It is within the realm of diving. You can deep dive that far down if you have the right equipment. You're not going to do it with sports diving equipment. No. You're going to have a people that know how to use breathe mixtures. They have to change the mixture as you go down. You can't, you know, you can't breathe oxygen, you know, standard air when you get that low. You're going to get whacked out bad. There's going to be decompression involved. So this is not something that some, you know, person that doesn't have a lot of state assets behind it's going to be able to do.
It was somebody, that they breathe in helium. Isn't that it?
Yeah, well, it changes. I think you're breathing mostly helium when you get to that depth, and it changes. But I'm not an expert on how to breathe mixtures and how that mixture works. But you have to change from, you don't start breathing those mixtures, you get to a certain depth. It prevents nitrogen buildup in the blood. It prevents all kinds of things from happening. But when you're down at that depth, you just can't just go, well, let's go back to the surface. It's going to take, you're going to have decompression stops along the way, depending on how long you've been at the bottom doing what they're doing. And since there's four breaches on that, I mean, we don't, you know, was it more than one diver, whatever? Was it a submarine? Was it a torpedo? Was, you know, whatever it was, a mini sub? But it has to be state assets that did this. Somebody's state assets that did it. And I don't believe for a minute Vladimir Putin would do it because this is his cash cow. I know they'd say, well, he wants to make it look like somebody else. Yeah, okay, sure. But it's still his cash cow. His cash cow has been turned off. So he's not getting the money from all that natural gas that's just being wasted right now, being pumped into the ocean and killing God knows how many animals it's being killed. Plus, you know, the unbelievable amount of methane, climate changing gas, as they put it, is being pumped into the atmosphere. So I don't think anybody really can question the fact that it's sabotage. I do know that the president of Poland thanked us for doing it. Because you know, they have that new Baltic pipeline that's coming online where it'll be Western natural gas versus Russian natural gas. So we have just taken, you know, the cash away from Russia and have now put it back into Western Europe. It's very, very convenient. Another thing I find, 2 points I'd like to make about it is first, whoever did this just greatly expanded the theater of war. I was talking to Mike Adams last night. I was mentioning this to him. That, you know, we just greatly expanded the theater of war. What was once just a border war, you know, Ukraine going into Russia, that border war, with some ancillary things going on. But basically, it was a war between Ukraine and Russia, has now gone into an act that is related to that war. And I can't see that it's not. It has now become an international war with somebody doing state sponsored terrorism. So that the theater of war has just expanded dramatically. Because if somebody's done this, let's just say our allied powers have done it, there's going to be an access response to it. And that might be to cut the internet cables between, U.S. and Europe. There's a lot of things it could do, cyber attack, but it cannot go unresponded to. So whatever power has been the victim of this that's going to suffer from it is going to have to respond in some way in an equal manner. And if it was the internet cable that connects Europe and internet cables that connect Europe and the United States together, it could be very, very catastrophic, turning off a lot of banking information, just a lot of things that would make it so we would really be in a pickle.
That underwater cable is also how the military gets the internet.
Yeah, it could be catastrophic very quickly. For the United States and Europe, that we can't banking information, money, because it's about money, and that would go down, and that would be, you know, forget about anything. And the other thing, I would expect to see the price of propane in this country go up, because Europe's going to have to buy propane from somewhere, We're not drilling any more propane here. So that pipeline's been cut off. And so people that use propane, I expect to see that price double, triple. The other thing I find really particularly interesting is the fact that, you know, I have a known disaster coming to the United States, Hurricane Ian. Okay, I know from the weather models, it is going to be catastrophic, which it was. And so, you know, this pipeline is blown up right as that hurricane is doing its damage, you know, as it's approaching. And the hurricane is in the news cycle. And this hurricane will be in the news cycle for the next few weeks as, you know, people unravel what all the damage that's been done in South Florida and wherever else it goes. And so, you know, was this a cover? Was this so that, you know, you could not have to talk about this? I mean, it would make sense to do it that way. We know we've got a cover story going. A big hurricane could hit the United States. So we act now, blow up the pipeline, and then it doesn't even make the news cycle. Do you find that interesting?
Well, you know, the sad part about this is that Ian's going to go off into the Atlantic and quite possibly regain power and then walk its way back up the seaboard, possibly as a two or a three. A three is still, you know, catastrophic damage, at least flooding wise. So, you know, the hurricane's not over yet. And
no,
we don't know the vast amount of damage from Florida. However, if it keeps working its way up, just consider it like this. You know, if you had to rebuild your house and half of it got destroyed, well, that bill is going to be really high, right? And then if more of it gets destroyed, the bill goes higher. Well, it's going to be the same thing with our deficit and trying to repay all the damages, because the government funds the money. Whenever the states will say, hey, we're declaring disaster, they ask for the federal government to front the money, and then they say, we'll repay you back. So like I think Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis of Florida, he asked for, I think it's $60 billion to be released. So, you know, the federal government's going to front that, and then they're expected to be paid back over, you know, so amount of time. But every time we do this, we play with inflation, and it just gets
massive
worse.
Inflation. This massive is a massive inflationary event.
Yeah.
Cars. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of cars.
Insurance claims alone are not going to be honored. They're not going to be honored.
Yeah.
Because they're good. It's
it
going
could go
to be
over
based,
$200 billion.
Yeah, and it's going to be based on the inflationary system that we have now. And you know what that's going to happen? You know what that reminds me of is what happened during Katrina. When Katrina got hit or hit Louisiana and then parts of East Texas, you know, everybody was living in FEMA trailers, to include my wife's family. And, you know, everybody's waiting for the insurance company to eventually say, hey, you know, your house is lost. Here's what the government will give you. And it's never what your house is worth. It's never anything to cover the full extent of what you lost. And I don't want to say that's necessarily FEMA's fault. That's the corrupt system that we have. But when these disaster recovery centers get set up, which most likely probably within the next week, you'll have FEMA setting up disaster recovery centers all throughout Florida. People are going to go in there. They're going to be lining up and they're going to be saying, this is my address. This is what we lost. How can FEMA help me? And many people are going to be disappointed. I've been there and done it.
The insurance companies, I mean, when do they say enough's enough? Because this at $200 billion, this is going to be a huge impact. And just if it is $200 billion, let's just say it is, and it looks like it well could be, because the flooding was catastrophic. And when a house is flooded, basically you have to gut that house, you know, to get all the drywall, mold, black mold, the insulation has to come out. Everything has to be sprayed with, you know, a disinfectant, because, you know, you don't want to live in a house with black mold in it. So this flooding has happened. I saw a gentleman today that was stranded in his house, and the water was up to about 2 feet from the ceiling, and he was just swimming around and about in his house. That's how high some of the water tables, and even higher. I've seen houses completely submerged. You know, those houses are a total loss when that happened. Looked like, you know, just waves and waves of water came in, And so, you know, that's going to be an event all to itself, highly inflationary event. I remember being a builder in Florida. I was a general contractor in Florida back in the 80s. And when Hurricane Andrew went through, I mean, overnight, plywood, 2x4s, everything just doubled in price. It was just, you know, you couldn't get it. So everybody jacked up the price. And, you know, that was passed on to the consumer because there's always that act of God clause in your contract that if something like that happens, you know, I can't be responsible for an act of God. If price is doubled, then you're going to have to be on the hook for it. And so we're going to see that now. Houses that were under construction, which I'm sure there were thousands of houses under construction and there that are now gone and with contracts signed, that's not going to be $250,000 to rebuild. It'll be $350,000 just because of the inflation and the accessibility of materials, labor, and so forth. But anyhow, that's getting a little off target. You know, going back to the North Stream, not Nordstrom, as our press secretary calls it, Nordstrom. You know, we have very, very suspicious circumstances around this. You know, in February, we have our president saying that we would do this, that we could do it, and it would be done, that they, we would, you know, make that the Nord Stream pipeline would come to an end. You know, he knew that the Baltic pipeline was nearing completion when they said that. So he knew that they'd be able to, you know, change how they get the gas. So, you know, we have a president that has said this. This is a highly provocative action towards war. And this is what I want people to do. We at times, we look at events like, you know, if I get some, you know, okay, I pull up this change in my desk and we don't understand that's a quarter, that's a quarter, that's a quarter, quarter, quarter. I mean, I got a bunch of quarters here. And they look at all those quarters, you know, that I'm looking at my desk right now, some nickels and pennies, and they look at it all as individual events, you know, but what and it, you know, when you look at it that way, it doesn't make sense. But when I start taking, I've got $1, you know, $1.65, 67 cents here, and you start putting it together, you understand, you know, there's a lot more going on. And what we're guilty of in this country so often and so badly, so poorly, is first, we are victims of a very immediate news cycle. I mean, what's in the news today, in 3 or 4 days from now, people have forgotten about. So they don't write things down. They're not like, and this is why I tell people, to be like a junior intelligence officer. You know, you need to be keeping track of this. I've got stacks of paper categorized onto different things that I've kept over the years so I can go back and dig it out. Because, you know, once it's off the news cycle for 6 months, Google might put it on page 65 or something where you can't even find it anymore. It's just buried in the search engines. But if you look at these things as pieces of a puzzle, you know, each one has a certain value to it. Each quarter has a certain value. And you start adding it up by quarter by quarter by quarter. It starts to paint a picture. And that's what my fear is that people do. They don't tie it all together. Right now, we are seeing an Axis allied power develop. How much is China helping Russia in Ukraine? It might not be public. But are they providing material support? Are they providing technical support? Are they providing satellite support to the Russians? We don't know. But I would suspect, because China and Russia have now become bed buddies, I would suspect that they have a mutual pact together of some sort where that type of information is being exchanged. So China has some sort of you know, skin in the game in Ukraine at this point, supporting Russia. We obviously have skin in the game supporting Zelensky and part of Ukraine. And so that in and of itself is a provocation towards an escalation and war. I just want people to understand that this is not a static situation right now. This has gone very dynamic, and there's a lot of elements in play. We just approved more money to the Ukraine. We're continuing sending more and more weapons. We're talking about now sending A-10 tank busters over there, which would be, that would be a massive inflammation of this war, because those tank busters are very, the A-10 is very, very good at what it does. It's almost impossible to shoot it out of the sky. I mean, I've seen pictures of A-10s that have come back with half a wing and tail shot off, and they still fly. That 30-millimeter Gatling gun on it that uses depleted uranium bullets is very, very effective. So as we each step we escalate, you know, how are the Axis powers escalating? And we don't realize, because what I mentioned earlier, that we have such a short psyche towards the news cycle. You know, what was news a couple days ago is now like, what? I don't remember. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. 3 days ago. Yeah, okay, yeah. Much less a week, a month, a year ago. We don't keep that in our collective memories. And so all of a sudden, you have built this thing that, it's the precipice of war. Doug, I'm sure you've had this call before. I've had it all the time. When do you think things are going to get really bad? And I went, what? Really bad? We have morons in charge of the company. Country. I mean, the whole world is controlled by really, really sick people. I mean, you know, Vladimir Putin, he's the choir boy. I mean, he's done some pretty sick things. You look at China. What they do over there, that's some pretty sick stuff. You know, our officials in this country, there's some pretty sick people running the country. And so what we failed to do is to catalog those events and realize that when somebody asked me, when do you think things are going to get really bad? I look at him and I say, brother, you mean like in 1995, starting then, or 19, whatever? What, you know, 1992, things are bad. We've lost a tremendous amount of freedom. The Patriot Act, all these things that have been put upon us line upon line, precept upon precept, things are really bad. I look at our education system. Look what it's producing. I mean, you know, I saw this meme the other day. You know, it was basically a graph that went like that, you know, whoop. And it was like, you know, the same-sex marriage, now you're overreacting, you're overreacting, you're overreacting, you're overreacting. And then you've seen that thing with the prosthetic breasts that are like 99 quadruple D. Have you seen the Teaching Shop class? I mean, and so how did we get there? Well, it's line upon line. You've not seen the intelligence picture as you should see it. And all of a sudden, then we have people advocating, as James Yeager used to say, you know, midget donkey porn, and we don't realize how we got there. The same thing, how we stumble into war. World War I is a classic example of that. We stumbled into that war. You know, after World War I, if we had not penalized Germany so dramatically and put them in a situation where they could never escape from the punitive actions we put on them, Hitler would have never come to power. But because we didn't handle the treaty, at World War I very well, we necessitated, predictable, that the World War II would come about and that there would be a Hitler that came to power. And so this is what we've done. We've not learned the lessons of history. We've not understood how Hitler did the exact same thing we're doing now, encompassing Russia. Russia knew what happened. It was a catastrophic event for them. Russia lost more people in World War II than all the other Axis and Allied people put together. They threw 30 million people at that conflict. And, it was devastating on a nation. They're saying already Russia's probably lost 50,000 people in this war. That's the statistics. The CIA is saying 80,000. We don't know, but they show no signs of letting up. They're going to commit to this, and we don't understand that because we don't understand history. It's like those videos I see on YouTube, you know, that guy's out in the street asking people, how many moons does the United States have? And somebody's going, oh, three? You know, how many months are there in a year? 20? How many continents are there? Well, one guy said, I know there's at least 30. You know, I mean, that's the American people today. And so much less, if they don't even know that information, they have no idea of the geopolitical things that went on to precipitate World War II, especially Operation Barbarossa, when they went into the Nazis went into the Soviet Union. But if you study that history, you will see right now that the same set of events are going on between what you would consider the Allied powers, that would be us, and the Axis powers. We're encircling Russia. We're having armies on their border, and they are, you know, panicking because they knew just 70 years ago what it cost them to defeat that type of event. And, you know, I understand their paranoia, and I'm not siding with Russia. I just, but as I want to know my enemy, I have to understand how he sees it. And hopefully if I understand how he sees it and I understand my goals, there's a way to come to the table and negotiate past, you know, where this thing is going, where it's going, because where it's going is very, very bad. You know, the wheat shortages, the fertilizer shortages, the ammonia shortages, all the shortages that we see going on right now are another weapon of war. Food is always used as a weapon of war. We see that developing. We've seen Vladimir Putin threaten nuclear weapons. Now Biden's come back and say, well, if you use nuclear weapons, we will sink your entire Black Sea fleet. We will respond dramatically. So instead of de-escalating this, learning the lessons of history, we are escalating it, either ignoring the lessons of history or we're purposely escalating it because we want war. I think the latter, I could make a pretty good case for it. I'm not in their minds, so I don't know what they're thinking, but I think we could make a pretty good case that they are purposefully escalating this war with the end result. And this is what I don't think a lot of people tie together. The end result is the Great Reset. You know, the destruction of the world that is now, the world economic system that is now, the world military powers as they are now, to introduce a global economy, a global military structure, a global political structure, and that would rule tyranny over all the world, the global currency, the digital currency. You know, I mean, imagine not having, I mean, you know, I believe in local government. I think 90% of what happens in Monroe County should be determined by local government, you know, and maybe a few percent happen what's happened in Washington. But if Washington is as unresponsive as it is now, imagine what would happen if it's global. All you have to do is look towards Europe. When the EU, eight nations lost their independence to a outside their state, Germany or France or whatever, you know, they lost that to a multinational government that becomes less and less responsive the further it gets away from home. So imagine when this global government comes into play, the global currency comes into play, who would you redress for your grievances? Who do you go to? Think about it. Think about that for a second. You know, I the government did something wrong. Where do I go to? Well, you got to go to The Hague, or you got to go to some multinational governing.
You'll have to travel to New York to protest yourself against NATO.
And some multinational governing board that doesn't hold your language, your culture, your religion at any value whatsoever. So if you were to say, you know, I can't go along with this because of my religious values, well, they don't recognize your religious values. They see your religious values as the enemy. You know, we don't, that religion's no good. You know, that thinking is no good. And we already see conservative thinking being demonized. So, you know, this is what the outcome of all we're seeing going on right now is, this Great Reset. Push towards a digital currency, push towards, you know, universal religion, push towards universal government, and it becomes far further and further and further removed from the people. Whereas, you know, Monroe County, I applaud them. They just voted to restrict multifamily dwellings. They don't want them here. No multifamily dwellings in our, and I love that. You know, I love it. So I applaud it. But, you know, if it was done in Washington, well, they wouldn't have a choice in it. And if it's done in a multinational, oh my gosh, you can't even own property at that point. So this is where it's heading. All these catastrophes, just a few things here. You know, just think, this week we've seen this massive, you know, environmental disaster, massive economic disaster, and massive provocation towards war called the North. I keep wanting to say it because I have a little
Nordstrom.
You know, I watched it three or four times, and it just got oh my gosh. The inmates are definitely in charge of the asylum here. But, you know, Canada just suffered that massive storm, one of the worst storm in 100 years, hundreds of thousands of people out of power. Right now, we have had this Hurricane Ian, which probably will go down as one of the most expensive, if not the most expensive storm in all of history. You know, we've seen You know, just a few things. And this year, the British pound has gone against the dollar, has gone down 13%. The Swiss krona, 14%. The Australian dollar, 7.2%. The New Zealand dollar, 11%. You know, the Canadian dollar has gone down 3%. It's about on parity. The euro is about on parity. It's lost a lot of its value. Cryptocurrency has gone from $64,000 a Bitcoin to about $16,000 a Bitcoin. So we see this massive collapse of currency around the world that feeds right into the Great Reset.
Well, look, have you seen the price of gold lately?
Yeah, it's collapsing.
Right now on Kitco, they're asking $16.61.50. So $1,600 for an ounce of gold.
It was right at $2,100 at its height. That's what they were asking for, $2,100. So that's collapsing. You know, again, it's to destroy the old paradigm of doing things. Now, personally, I don't think they can, you know, I think the smart people are probably buying gold right now. You know, our friend Steve Quayle sells gold and silver. And if I had the discretionary income, you might want to call Steve Quayle. You can get to stevequayle.com. And talk to him about buying some precious metals, because I can promise you the powers that be drive this down. You know, they don't want to buy it at 2,100, and they're not going to buy an ounce or two. They're going to buy it by the, you know, pounds of gold. They'll drive the price down so they can buy it cheap and then reinflate it and goes back up. And they, you know, they skip the inflationary cycle. Whereas, you know, people selling it now probably bought it high and are selling it low. They take it, and the short. So I'd call Steve and buy my gold and silver right now. Just me. And again, another border crisis. We see crime. I mean, I just can't believe. Did you see that Philadelphia store, the Wawa? I guess that's what it's called. The locust that went in there and just stripped it.
Yeah.
This is happening all over the country.
Well, this is becoming a common occurrence, and it's always adolescents or older teenagers, and you know, early 20s. There's no love for law. There's no fear of it either. There's no fear of it. There's no repercussions for it.
Yeah, we so crippled the police forces that, you know, I mean, for me, good grief. I mean, I think personally, I think if somebody does that, you're threatening your livelihood, you should better use lethal force on them. That's me. Yeah, I'm not, you know, some people might disagree with me because they say, well, you know, merchandise isn't worth people's lives, but it will never stop it until the penalty becomes such that they realize it's going to cost me a lot to do this.
But in those areas, they may say merchandise isn't worth your life.
Of course. But we know that.
When your store is hit several times a year and you can't afford the insurance claims anymore, and by the way, the insurance won't restock what you lost. Yeah, then it starts to affect you, right? It affects you every time because it affects you mentally.
Yeah, it closes down that store. And so then that neighborhood, because it's usually neighborhood stores that are done, is no longer served. And then they go out and it's just like locusts. They just keep expanding, going out and out and out. You know, I forgot what it was. Somebody walked into a store recently, one of those stores with a gun, and he goes, "I'm from Chicago, man." He goes, "This ain't Chicago." And he was pointing them down, you know, get your butt out of here. That's going to solve it. The guy didn't rob the store. He didn't do any damage.
Yeah. But, he walked in there and said that he was lost. I believe this was in Alabama, I think.
Yeah. Somewhere.
Yeah. It was in the South. He came to the wrong place. You know, he was like, "I'm from Chicago, bro." Well, man, I would prone you out on the ground real quick. You ain't leaving with that shotgun. So
no,
hey,
you know,
I got a question for you. We were talking about sabotage. I don't think people understand really geopolitically what sabotage means, especially on my level, let alone your level. But it's been 4 days since the reported leaks and explosions have happened on the Nord Stream 1 and 2. Russia and the European partners that were there have spent billions of dollars. It's not all Russia. It's Russia and the EU have spent billions of dollars building this this investment fund called the pipeline. And now that it's not there, the Kremlin, one of their spokesmen, Dmitry Pavlov, Peskov, he said that he thinks it's an act of terrorism, an act of state-sponsored terrorism. Do you think that they're accurate with that and blaming it on America? Do you think America is accurate in blaming it on Putin? Or do you think there could have been a third party to try and get both to fight each other?
Okay. Well, all I can say is this. I don't have a crystal ball, but Biden did threaten to do it. And he said we would do it. I mean, he was matter of fact in saying he would do this. So, you know, Doug, just real simple. If I said online, well, I'm going to murder my wife. Okay. I said it online. Everybody heard it. We went out all the internet. I'm going to murder my wife. Okay. And then a couple months later, my wife was murdered. Who would be the prime suspect? I mean, it's not rocket science. I didn't have to go to, I didn't have to get a PhD in criminal science to figure that one out.
I know the way laws are supposed to be done, but you know, there's provocation here because tomorrow is the annexation of Russia of the Donbass region, four different regions. All right. So that's going to be another spark to this already ongoing bonfire. That is the conflict. Is it a war or is it a conflict? Is it a special mission
or
is this, or is this World War III? Everybody's afraid to claim it.
If 50,000 to 80,000 Russian soldiers have died, it's a war. But so you say that, you know, Biden did threaten it. I think also the secretary, the ambassador of the UN said it, that we would do this. We'd blow it up. I don't think Russia would have done it because it is their cash cow. They make billions and billions of dollars from selling this gas. It, you know, be like, you just wouldn't make any sense to do it. So I don't have that crystal ball, but it you know, I could see it being in the United States' interest to do that, especially since we admitted we do it. And again, it's just another massive provocation to war. Russia annexes tomorrow. If they legally, you know, annex that, especially if the people vote for it, which I think they will, they want to be Russian. You know, they want to be Russian. You know, it's going to escalate. This thing does not have a good end. There's no exit strategy how to finish this war. Oh,
there is no good guy here.
No.
Russia's not a good guy in this.
No.
The Ukraine is not. America is not. The EU is not. None of us should be wanting any of this to be happening right now, but it's going to.
But I would say this. If those people want to join Russia, I would let them join Russia. If they vote overwhelmingly, like Crimea did, to become Russia, then I would say, you know, self-determination of a group of people. That's me. It is. If it ever came to the United States, where half the country said, we want self-determination, you know, we don't want to, we can no longer be part of this thing anymore. I believe in the self-determination of those people. Let's have a friendly breaking apart and say, listen, we'll be the red states, you be the blue states, that's fine. You know, we can trade with each other, we can deal with each other, but we've just come to irreconcilable differences. And, you know, instead of doing what Biden is doing, we're going to beat you over the head and arrest you and throw you in prison and do all kinds of nasty things to you if you don't agree with us. That never ends well. It never ends well. And, you know, Ceausescu tried it, Stalin tried it, all these other tyrants have tried it, and it never ends well. So, you know, if we don't acknowledge what the will of the people are or is, you know, they want to become Russian, they want to speak Russian, they want to go to Russian Orthodox churches, they want to be, you know, have Russian leaders. Gosh, you're not going to stop that, because no matter how hard you push, they're going to say, you know, I don't care. We're going to do it this way. And so I think the prudent thing to do is to look at and to say self-determination of a group of people that want to become Russian.
Do you think,
let them become Russian. That's me.
Do you think right now is the time to be watching France and Germany and seeing whom they actually decide to stand with? Because right now with the Baltic pipe, they're going to get liquid natural gas, LNG. They're going to get that from the U.S., which comes from our stock reserve because we're not making any of it right now.
Our oil reserves are at one of the lowest rates they've been.
Yeah, I want that to sink in for everybody.
Wait till after the election. If somehow the Democrats cheat their way into victory, you watch what happens to gas afterwards when they cut off tapping our federal, our strategic reserve, and it has to go back the way it was, we'll look at the fond days of $5 a gallon gas, because it'll be $8, $9 a gallon. That's what they want it to be, because they want to get rid of, you know, the internal combustion engine to begin with. But, you know, on top of all that, you know, we have, like I said, I just want to go down a few things here. You know, just this is what's just happened recently. We are seeing the world divide just like it has in World War One, just like it did in World War Two. You know, Axis and Ally, we're seeing power blocks develop. You know, China, Russia, that there's a there's an Axis power there. We're seeing Ally power. And I don't know, other than England, you know, who our Ally powers really are, who would really stand on our side, perhaps India. Maybe Canada. I don't know anymore, you know, who will actually stand with the United States. And I think our hubris is driving this. Like, we still think we are the post-World War II country that conquered the world, and we're not. The dynamic of the world has changed so much since World War II. We could find ourselves on the bad side of that equation. You know, we have a strategic conflict right now going on in the South China Sea with Taiwan. The Spratly Islands, China's building artificial islands there because they're exercising dominance in the South China Sea. They say they want to be the big dog on the block. You know, we are insistent on us being the big dog on the block. Out of this China war thing, right now we're seeing it develop, and I think it's going to develop more over the next 6 months. There's going to be food and water wars. I mean, right now in the United States, you just look what's going on with water in the Southwest. I mean, they're at absolutely critical levels of water. I was watching an alfalfa farmer that growing in Nevada. He grows alfalfa, and he said his water allocation has gone down by 2/3. So this is going to be this food and water war that puts strategic pressure on all nations to acquire those resources for their people. North Korea is always an unknown element, what they would do. I mean, I don't think Kim Jong-il would really care if he could get out of the country if, you know, most of his Korean citizens died. I just think they have such low regard for life. Daily right now, we're seeing this information war escalate, you know, the AI wars, the digital war, the cyber war escalate. And this is a real, I think, potential for retaliation against this pipeline blowing up, doing cutting an internet cable that feeds, you know, Europe and the United States, or the internet cables that do, or cyber war. That's a potential. These are all the things that I look at are destabilizing right now. We're both of us are introducing first strike weapons into the theater now. Hypersonic missiles, all this new fifth and sixth generation technology going in are extremely destabilizing this world, because there's no way to shoot down a hypersonic missile right now that we know of. And they can carry nuclear weapons. So we see these destabilizing weapons being introduced into the equation. And, you know, it's use them or lose them. That was the thing during when the ICBMs were the big thing. You know, do we ride out the attack, or do we, you know, use them before the Soviet missiles got there or our missiles got to the Soviet Union? That 20-minute window during the transit time between the two, do you launch yours on threat of attack? It was extremely destabilizing, and it almost led to nuclear war a couple times because there were some computer errors that led to it. Again, we see our country, as we become more internally destabilized, which we are right now, extremely internally destabilized, the powers that be are creating more and more external threats for us to go, look over there, don't look here. We don't want to look at the fentanyl that is devastating our country. We don't want to look at the border conflicts that are going on with sex trafficking. We don't want to look at the fact that inflation is massive. We don't want to look at the fact that, you know, energy is depleting, that there's shortages, the moral breakdown of the family. We don't want to look at what the horrible job that education is doing. So they're developing all these internal and external threats. We as Christians are Nero, Christians burnt down Rome. Well, that they're juxtaposing that paradigm on us right now. The Christians, oh my gosh, they're responsible for it all. So we see this, that they know there's problems. Jan Psaki said it the other day. If this election's a referendum on Joe Biden, they're going to get their clocks cleaned. So they're distracting us right now, and I expect more and more distractions as we head toward the election. As I said, nuclear weapon threat. It has been, you know, I remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. I remember my dad was a naval officer, and I remember in our house, he was hugging his children, you know, hugging us. My mom and dad were hugging because he was going down into that theater with me, and it came very close to nuclear war. We thought, boy, this is it, you know, and we were crying, and we were little kids at that time. And thinking our daddy's gone away, never going to come back, all that. But since that time, when that threat of nuclear war has been on the table, you know, we've not seen it on the table like that until now. So that threat of nuclear war is on the table again, which is very, very destabilizing. Another just data point, the Pope is transferring all Vatican reserves back into the Vatican Bank. I think he knows there's going to be some type of economic fallout. He sees it coming. You know, again, we see this democratic desire to destroy the traditional America that we grew up in and we love. You know, I mean, you know, that people who believe in family, God, country. Look at that Italian prime minister that just got elected. I believe in God, family, and country. Oh, my gosh, she's a fascist. You see this, don't you? Happening right. They're demonizing her because I love my family. I believe family is the building block of a society. You know, I love my country, and you know, I love the values, the Christian value. She's a fascist. So we see this polarization of people in the United States and around the world going on right now, where it's us against them and them against us, and this is all done by design. Massive inflation going on. We mentioned this. You know, a lot of people right now at this prospect of winter in Germany and all around the world, and even in the United States. Fuel, food, which do I buy this week, honey? Do we get fuel or food? Do we go, you know, and that's where it's headed. And again, as I said, you look at all that, you look at all we've talked about, this world is being governed by incredibly sick people. I mean, it's just, you and I could do a better job because we just think common sense. You know, hey, I mean, that's my common sense thing. If those people want to be Russian, let them be Russian. You know, just don't, there's no coercion on either side. Just let them be what they want to be. But we've expended, what, $73 billion while people in this country are suffering. They can't afford food. They can't afford fuel. They can't afford the basic necessities. Can't afford health care. We just threw $73 billion into a country that was known for its absolute massive corruption, and we keep throwing money there. So, I mean, we have – this world is being run by some people that are just unbelievably wicked, evil people.
Well, you know,
we
just avoided a government shutdown.
I know.
Literally. And yeah. Part of that government shutdown agreement was to send another $12
billion
to Ukraine. And they're saying that that's up to a total of $67 billion now. But that's only in financial assets.
Yeah, I read $73 billion, but, you know, billion here, billion there. What difference does it make?
Yeah,
Hillary Clinton.
I mean, we're probably close to that also with, you know, military assets.
Yeah.
So
it's insane. While we have a threat of maybe getting into a conflict, while our southern border is being invaded by right now, just Dave, I want people to stop and think right now, as we are talking, there are a lot of women on the border that are being gang raped. Right now, as we speak, these women are being brutalized by gangs of men. And the Biden administration, they get upset about 50 migrants going to Martha's Vineyard, immigrants going to Martha's Vineyard. They don't care about those women that are on the border. They don't care about those 10 and 12-year-olds that are being raped on the border. They know what's happening. They don't care about them. You know what I'm saying? A story, a 2-year-old Kentucky girl was found with her mother alone in an apartment. Something killed the mother and the child's found there. But I'm just seeing the violence against children in our country is reaching pandemic levels. It's because, you know, we just have such disregard for life anymore. We are seeing just right in front of you. We'd see it on the news every night. Children are being massive. Oh, rape this. They were at this church school. This. Children rape. You know? I think we've lost the majority of our freedom. I think we have a very, very, very difficult uphill battle should we ever gain it back. And I don't think we've seen the darkest days of it yet. So this is what I tell people. you know, get ready, prepare, because it has come off the rails. It's a crash in motion right now. This country is on the precipice of complete anarchy. I mean, our politicians, if you're on the blue side of the equation, are at practice complete anarchy. There's no accountability to them whatsoever. They get to rape, pillage, plunder, steal, hey, do whatever with no.
Listen to this article on Zero Hedge. It's just another card to throw into the gambit. Today, a federal judge ordered the FBI to produce the information it possesses related to Seth Rich's laptop. Oh, gee, I wonder what's on that.
Well, it's probably been sterilized. You know, Hillary Clinton probably bleach bit it. You know.
Well, the FBI said they had it in their possession in its entirety. So once it goes to be released.
Do you believe that?
Well, I believe they've had it. But
I believe they have it. What's the entirety? The public version of entirety or the private version of entirety? Well, they've had Hunter Biden's laptop. They know the crime that's on that laptop. They know it's there. They were told to stand down and don't even investigate it. They were told to stand down.
But why come out now with this? You know, all right, it seems to me there's too many things coming out before November.
It's bread and circus for the people is what it is. It's just the QAnon stuff. That's what he did, you know, but you would go to prison for downloading what he made. You know, I was listening to Denise D'Souza today when he was sentenced to prison for 8 months, and he was in that barracks with all those other people. And he figured out real quick that, you know, it wasn't like Shawshank Redemption where everybody said, I didn't do it. They all said, we did do it, but with a small fry. With a small fry is what he said. He goes, they never get the big fry because the big fry, those are the people in Washington that are doing it. So they never go to prison. They don't even get investigated. You can watch the Denise D'Souza interview when he was at Liberty University talking about it.
Dinesh D'Souza? Yeah.
Yeah, Dinesh D'Souza. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, you can watch the interview. And it's right there for those people never go to prison.
And he was a political prisoner.
He absolutely was, because he made that video exposing Barack Obama. And when they sent him to prison for 8 months, and, you know, he goes, I did do it. He made the mistake of giving too much money to one candidate. But he also pointed out that somebody gave $180,000 to Hillary Clinton. Well, over that limit. And, you know, he was arrested. But going back to the question, when you ask me when, it's already happening. They're going to use against us. The shortages are going to be massive. There's still a short time left to equip yourself. I mean, we just got another big shipment of Nutri-Store in, and you know, it's on our website, Nutri-Store food, Peak Refuel. We have that, which I love, and Numana food. We have all that. We have a lot of it in stock, so we can get that stuff out really quick. I think water filtration is going to be critical. You know, we were looking yesterday at the Trekker water filter, the Big Berkey water filter. We sell the Sweetwater Garden water filter and Katadyn products. We have that. You know, I'm a big, you know, I think you put your hands on this thing, wouldn't you? Really nice thermal unit.
Trigicon?
Just think of the roving bands of hoodlums that are going to be going around trying to.
All stations, all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.